Tonight we are continuing in the parables of Christ. Luke chapter 10 is where we are. You'll have to look in your Bibles for the verses because I didn't have room to include them all. So we're in Luke chapter number 10, verses 30 to 37. And we're looking at the parable of the Good Samaritan this evening. Luke chapter number 10, and look with me at verse number 30. The Bible says, "And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, and passed by on the other side." Verse 33. "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wounds, pouring oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him into an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Verse 36. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbour unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said," which is the lawyer, the scribe, in verse 25, asking the question, listening to the answer, "and he said, He that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, Go and do thou likewise." We can't go too deep this evening for the sake of time. We're just going to look at some highlights of this parable. But let's go to the Lord in prayer and commit this time to Him. Lord, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for these precious parables, these wonderful divine truths that have been, Lord, taught by You, Lord, that we may know You, that we may live for You, and that the mysteries of God would be revealed by Your Holy Spirit. We pray He would be our teacher tonight as we look at Your truth. And may You be glorified and may we seek to honour You as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, I'm sure you've heard the expression before that's often used to describe someone that does good. What do we often call them? A good Samaritan. And maybe you're here tonight and you're wondering where that came from. In fact, it came from the Bible. That's encouraging, isn't it? And tonight we're going to look at the fact that the Lord taught this parable and it has been lifted up from the Scriptures throughout the centuries as the example of God of the greatest loving kindness, the greatest act of kindness. Now here we see once again in the book of Luke, the Lord was upsetting the religious crowd. He was upsetting their religion. And here in verses 25 to 28, look back a few verses for a moment, there was a lawyer in verse 25 that asked him a question. Now, a lawyer is a scribe, someone who was an authority in the Old Testament law, and he came to the Lord with a question. But he wasn't being honest. He wasn't seeking the truth. Notice what verse 25 says. "Behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him." He wanted to trip the Lord up. He wanted to embarrass him. He wanted to catch him out. He didn't believe he was God. And so he wanted to, well, he thought he was smarter than the Lord. And then he asked him a question. He said, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" Verse 26. And he said unto him, "What is written in the law? How readest thou?" And the scribe answered, verse 27, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbour as thyself." And he, Jesus, said unto him, "Thou was answered right. This do, and thou shalt live." Now, the Lord knew that this scribe had never done what he just said. He knew what was written in the law, but he knew the scribe's heart. He knew that he wasn't perfect. He knew that he did not love the Lord as he should. And he knew that he did not love his neighbour as himself. And the Lord is obviously the only one who kept the whole law. He is the only sinless one, the sinless Son of God. Now, as the Lord said, "You're right," obviously the scribe was convicted. He knew in his heart of hearts he did not love his neighbor, especially as a religious Jew. And so what did he do? Well, he changed the subject. He asked another question, verse 29. "But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?'" Actually, that's a silly question, because our neighbors are everywhere. They're everywhere. But you see, the scribe was feeling guilty. Take the attention off himself. He asked another question. And so the Lord went on to teach the parable of the Good Samaritan. So this evening we're going to look at the injured one, the indifferent ones, and then the involved one. Roman numeral number one, we see the injured one. Many of you know this parable quite well. You remember there is a traveler in verse 30. A certain man went from Jerusalem to Jericho. It was a dangerous road. No doubt he was carrying money. He was wearing nice clothing. And the Bible tells us that suddenly thieves came on him, stripped him of his clothes, wounded him, and they departed, leaving him half dead. Now, if we're going to look at these different characters in this parable, this one who has been injured, this one who has been wounded, could no doubt describe mankind, the lost, unsaved, and wounded, injured, lost sinner. You see, they robbed him, they injured him, and how did they leave him? They left him half dead. They left him half dead. Now, he could either live or die, and that was depending on the help of whoever came along. That would make the difference. The Bible says that the devil is a murderer. The devil is a liar. And lost mankind are dead in their sins and trespasses. And if they die in that condition without being saved, they will never see the light of heaven. But you see, it's the Lord that has called us as Christians to shine the light of the gospel, amen, in this dark world. He is the one that has called us, not for them to come to us, but for us to go to them, amen. And you know, this injured one reminds me of someone who's dying in their sins. In fact, every single person we could say is half dead. They're alive, but they're dead in their sins and trespasses. If they die that way, they'll spend an eternity in the lake of fire. And it's our responsibility to take the gospel to them. In fact, the Lord is pictured here in this parable as the Good Samaritan. And he is the one that loved unconditionally. He is the Savior of the world. And as we go out with the gospel, let me encourage you, that is the greatest act of kindness that we could ever do. Now, we need to be careful because we live in an age of apostasy. There are many churches, especially the emergent church, and the hallmark of their movement is great works of charity, great works of humanitarian aid. And you know, the reality is there are government agencies set in place that can do a much better job than we can in feeding the poor and sending humanitarian aid overseas. What the Lord has called us to do is to preach the gospel. Let me encourage you, don't feel guilty that you're not giving thousands to World Vision. Amen. Don't feel guilty that you're not going out there and feeding the poor. The Lord wants us to go out there with the gospel. Now, of course, He wants us to love our neighbor, but the purpose is to get the gospel to them. Salvation Army, okay? What should their purpose be? Well, they should be preaching the gospel. If they feed them with food, they ought to be feeding them with the Word of God. Sadly, that doesn't happen. And we need to realize our calling is to go out to the lost, those who are dead and dying in sin. You can feed someone one day, they'll live for another day, but you can give them the gospel and they'll live forever. Amen. We need to keep things in perspective, don't we? Now, don't get me wrong, we need to be kind. And we'll talk about that in a moment. But the injured one, it's our job to be his witnesses to those that are dying in sin. Notice next the indifferent ones. Your next blank is the word indifferent. two different characters walked by and did nothing as they saw him lie on the side of the road. First, in verse 31, we see the priest. The Bible says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, what did he do? He passed by on the other side. Have you ever crossed the road to the other side? Because he didn't want to talk to the person that was there. Yeah. This is what this priest did. And it was worse because he was dying. He was bleeding. He was wounded. He was desperately in need of help. And the priest walked straight by. He avoided the man. Now, maybe the priest was on his way to Jerusalem. And maybe he realized, well, if I help this injured man, I would become unclean. Remember the Old Testament law. And if he was bleeding, if he was dirty, that priest would become unclean and wouldn't be able to take part in the worship time at the temple. Maybe that was his motive. But obviously he represented the Jews of the day as the Lord taught this parable. Then we see the Levite in verse 32. The Levite was a religious leader that had a position in the temple, had a position in God's economy, but he had no compassion. Maybe he didn't want to help out because he knew he would be late for the worship time at the temple. He knew the law as a Levite, but he had no love as a believer should have. Again, not willing to stop at help. Now I'm going to jump ahead quickly. I hope you don't lose me. We'll look at the Samaritan in a moment. But notice what the lawyer asked at the beginning of the parable. Verse 29, and who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Notice the answer Christ gives in verse 36. He asks the lawyer at the end, the scribe, now, which of these three, the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan, what thinkest thou? Who was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, obviously, him that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. Now, understand what the Lord was saying here. He wasn't saying to the scribe, your problem is you don't know who your neighbor is. Because that wasn't the scribe's problem. He knew who his neighbor was. In fact, people are everywhere. Those in need are all around us. We live in a world full of lost people. Our neighbor is everyone and everywhere. That wasn't his problem. His problem was he just didn't care. That was his sin. He didn't care. He didn't care about the lost. He wasn't a saved man, this scribe. He didn't have the heart of God. He didn't have compassion on those who were in need. And that was his problem. The Lord was saying, your problem is not that you don't know who your neighbor is. That's not your problem at all. The problem is you don't care. You have no love for those in need. And you know, as we think about our calling as Christians, our problem also is not wondering who is in need. They're everywhere. That's the exciting thing about the Christian life, amen? You never know who you'll meet tomorrow. There are people everywhere. And let me say this quickly. If God has put you here in the city of Cairns, he has put you here because he has someone for you to meet. Day after day, the next day, you just never know. But be assured, if you are in the will of God, you are on the right track to meeting someone that God wants you to bring the gospel to. And our problem is not that we don't know who's in need. Our problem is we just don't love and have the same compassion that the Lord Jesus Christ does. Isn't that true? We all need to work in that area because so often we can be like the Levite. We can be like the priest. We walk through our daily lives and we see people dying in sin all around us and we just walk past them when we should stop and give a tract. Amen? When we should stop and give an invitation. When we should talk about the Lord as often as we can and stop and help like the Good Samaritan. We can be as religious as we want to be. We can know all the words of the Bible. But my friends, the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 1, if we have not charity, if we speak with the tongues of angels and of men, if we have not charity, that which means love, then our words are pointless, empty, powerless. We become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. You see, if our faith, our relationship with God does not result in a love for others, our faith is empty, pointless. Why is it so often we don't witness to others as we should? So often it's because our hearts are cold. We might be like the priest and say, well, I don't have time. Okay, I don't have time to stop and talk because I'm busy. Now that's just an empty excuse. That's what the Levite said. That's what the priest may have said. Or, I don't want to get involved in that person's life because look at their sins and in fact, they deserve it. You know, they may have said about that man who was robbed on the road, well, that serves him right for walking alone and wearing nice clothing and taking money with him. Everyone knows that this is a dangerous road. But if they said that, they were hypocrites because they were doing the same thing. You know, I think about the fact when we look at someone in their sins and we look at their tattoos and we smell them and we see their wickedness and we say, no, I don't want to say anything to them. We are being hypocrites. Do you realize that we are just as filthy to God in His eyes as they are? And it's His mercy and His grace alone that pulled us out of the filth because He loved us. Revelation chapter 1. And He washed our sins in His own blood. Thank God for the blood of Christ. How can we have a greater compassion? Well, remember how much the Lord has loved you and I. Then we won't hesitate, amen, to get our hands a bit dirty and realize, hey, I need to go out there. I need to be a witness. And if it costs us personally, then so be it. There always is a cost. It's a cost in time. It's a cost in maybe even being willing to be humiliated. You know, I've said this before. I don't know if I've said it here. There's nothing wrong with going red-faced for God, amen. If someone swears at you and you become awkward and embarrassed, it doesn't matter. Amen? The main thing is you be a witness. Don't worry about being embarrassed for the Lord. Don't worry about being put down for the Lord. Don't worry about being sworn at for the Lord. Amen? We need to get our hands dirty. That's what He's called us to do, as witnesses. And the solution is not finding someone who might need help. The solution is you and I being brokenhearted about our sin, our lack of love, our lack of compassion, and asking the Lord, Lord, help me to love as You love. Isn't that a prayer we all need to pray? Lord, today, help me to love as You love. Help me to see what You can see. Thank God the Samaritan saw the one in need. No doubt that was us. No doubt the Samaritan is the Lord. Let's look lastly at the involved one. The involved one. This is the one who got involved. Verse 33, but a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now the fact that the Lord Jesus said it was the Samaritan, not the Jewish Levite, not the Jewish priest that showed compassion, obviously was an offense. Because remember, the Jews hated the Samaritans. The Samaritans were half-caste Jews. And the Jews despised them. They hated them. And we could assume that this one going on a journey who was robbed and beaten and left for dead most likely was a Jew. He was coming from Jerusalem, going down to Jericho. He was probably a Jew. And who was the one that stopped to help him? The one whom that Jew hated. His enemy, a Samaritan. Isn't that a beautiful picture of our Lord? Isn't it true that the Lord loved and came to save those who were His enemies? As we prayed tonight, thank the Lord He saved us as His enemies. We were His enemies. And the Bible says very clearly that the Lord came to save those who rejected Him. And how could He love those who hated Him? Because He saw past their sin. He saw their sin, but He saw past their sin and saw their need. And that's what you and I need to see, my friends. We need to see past the sin of others. And we need to see their need if we're going to have compassion as the Lord has compassion. We need to pray for the Lord to help us. Then we see the sacrifice of lastly, the Samaritan. Notice what happened. He tended to his wounds. He put him on his horse. He took him to an inn. And then he gave the innkeeper some money. Money? This came at a cost. Financially. Physically. Time-wise. You see, the Samaritan was willing to give his all. His time. His money. Himself. And that's what the Lord Jesus Christ did for us. He humbled himself, did he not? He humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. That's what the Lord did for us. You see, the Lord is pictured here in the Samaritan. And if the Lord has called us to be the same, we need to be willing to sacrifice. We need to be willing, as the Lord said, to take up our cross and follow Him. We need to die to ourselves, don't we? You might have a plan for tomorrow, but every day we need to die to self. Because tomorrow is in the Lord's hands. It's good to have a plan. But let me encourage you to allow the Lord to change that from time to time. It may mean staying back at work late one night because the cleaner's there. And they've asked you about some things and you've asked them about some things and you start to talk about the Lord. Suddenly there's a conversation. But you want to get home. You want to eat dinner. You want to get on with the evening. But there's the Lord who's created a divine opportunity. This was a divine opportunity. The Lord brought along the Samaritan to help this poor man in his greatest need. We need to allow the Lord to lead in our schedule. Amen? And our finances. How many of you understand if it's going to cost some money to help be a witness to our neighbor? How many of you believe God will pay that back double?
Amen.
Absolutely. Seek ye first, the Lord says, the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. That's His promise. Sometimes it'll cost to maybe make our neighbor a cake on their birthday. Maybe you might be the only one that will remember. And then you go over and say, hey, let's sit down for a cup of coffee, and you witness to them. An open door of opportunity. Sometimes it costs that way. Just to show an act of kindness out of love, in order to show someone that you care. That's a rare thing today, isn't it? And who should it come from most of all? It should come from Christians. Of course, the greatest way to love someone is to follow up with the gospel. That's what the Lord wants us to do. But let me just say that witnessing will take sacrifice. Time, money, self, but it's worth it. You see, the assumption here is that this wounded, injured man died. Is that right?
No.
Okay, just checking you're listening. We're almost done. Did he die? No, the assumption here is that he made a full recovery. Amen? And that's the exciting part of being a good Samaritan for the Lord. We believe that He will work the miracles and that those who we have the privilege of impacting with the gospel will be saved. There will be some that will be saved. And we need to be faithful, don't we? We need to be willing to sacrifice. And you see, just like this one that was entrusted to the innkeeper to care for the good Samaritan, what did he say? When I come back, I'll repay. Isn't that like the Lord? The Lord is coming back. And let me encourage you, He will repay. He will repay everyone, every Christian that cares enough to say, do you know where you'll spend eternity when you die? How often does anyone ever get asked that question? We need to be asking people that question. Where will you go? Would you like to know? Would you like to know? Thursday night I was in Sydney and I went along with the church group to their street witnessing. They went out to a shopping centre area outside and they just stood out there handing out tracts. It's even more confrontational than going to the door. Lots of people rushing by you. I've only been out twice, that was the second time. And they didn't used to do that before. And there were people rushing by up and down. Most of them took an invitation, took a tract. There was one guy that said, hey, God, I believe in every God. And by the end of the conversation, I was able to share the gospel with him. And he understood the difference between religion and being born again. And what a joy that was to speak to that young man on the street, just out in the open, and tell him about the Lord. You know, that is our joy, isn't it, as Christians? And the Apostle Paul said, this is my crown of rejoicing, to know that when I step into eternity, there'll be some there that the Lord allowed me to witness to and got saved. Amen. So let's not be like those cold religious fools who know what the Bible says but don't live with the heart of God. If we've been saved, we need to throw away those excuses that cause us to walk by the dead every day and take up our cross and be like Christ, the Good Samaritan, and reach out with compassion and sacrifice. We know who our neighbour is. We'll see them tomorrow. They're there. But will we get involved? Amen. Don't worry, the Lord has already gone before us. Amen. He's not bound by time. He's eternal. He lives in the future, present and past. He's already gone before you. And He just simply wants us to be His witnesses. Will you be involved and serve the Lord?